there are these little crystals called otoliths in people's ears.
You're making this up.
This is true.
There's no crystals in our ears.
This is true.
Crystals?
Yep.
You're yanking my chain.
Look it up. You're right freaking. Now. Look it up.
You're pulling my leg. You're scratching my back.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back once again to Podzilla, your favorite show where what once consisted of two brothers going through the Godzilla franchise has now turned into the Drake brothers' journey through Gamera.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Jaisha over here, and that speaking before me was Micah.
And in the other corner, it's Micah Drake.
Wow.
Yeah, we're watching every Gamera movie in order of release date. And today's movie is Gamera versus Gauss.
Now,
that's Jason, how you say it.
Gauss. I think we'll be better than we think we are.
Yeah. Who came up with this monster name and was like, G-Y-A-O-S, that's a great name for a monster.
It was Eiichi.
Eiichi. Because Eiichi can just speak random.
Because Gauss was the sound it made.
Eiichi can do stuff with his mouth I can only dream of. The words he can do. The words he can make.
Let's cut that one from the tapes.
The words he can make.
Jaisha, I've been having some trouble.
Yeah.
Look, I got to admit, I've been watching a lot of WWE wrestling because we only have limited video footage.
Up here on our G4 spaceship. You've been watching WWE. You know what a suplex is now?
Oh, man, I've been doing suplexes all morning.
Really? To who?
Yeah. You.
Really? Well, I haven't noticed. Yes. They can't be suplexes.
I need to work on it then. What have you been watching from our limited stock of video footage?
Well, Micah, are you ready for segment of the Podzilla podcast of the Planet of the Apes?
No. No, I'm not.
Dude, the Planet of the Apes journey is finished.
Finished?
Finished.
Never 15 going to
films
be again.
Done and dirty. I watched Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes with you.
Hey, so did I.
We went and saw it. I gotta say, after the huge build-up I did for myself watching all the previous Planet of the Apes movies, I fell in love with a couple of the original ones. Escape from the Planet of the Apes, amazing. The wool was stripped from my eyes, and I had a newfound love for Tim Burton's movie that I discovered.
I heard that there was one movie where they went fishing.
Oh, yeah, one of the TV movies, which was Farewell to the Planet of the Apes.
Dude, you watched these like in the last 2 weeks.
Farewell to the Planet of the Apes, when they wrestle a giant rubber shark. There's been some good moments. I got to say, War for the Planet of the Apes, the final film in the Caesar trilogy.
Hey, that's a good one.
It's my favorite one of the bunch. The how emotional that movie gets, it's crazy.
Now, real quick, I just got to butt in here and say, this was the worst cinema experience I've had.
Seeing Kingdom for the Planet of the Apes. Was it because you fell asleep?
I did not fall asleep.
You were on the brink.
I was on the verge.
You were on the brink.
But
for
I was
2.5 hour movie. You were just on
like
the brink.
Like half an hour in, I was on the verge, but I pulled it back. And, I was with Proxima Caesar. I was with Noah for the rest of the movie.
Congratulations, yeah. Why? So it wasn't because you were tired. Why was it bad? The kids in the front row?
These kids.
Yeah. Dude, advanced screening for Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes.
First one for our cinema, first one for our city.
You expect high-class citizens to show up for advanced screenings.
Yep, we wore our tuxedos.
Yeah, and then these plucky little youngsters in the front row.
Much like Eiichi in this movie, actually, but turned down from 11 to 2.
Like, and how awesome they were.
And how awesome they were, how charming they were, how plucky he is.
Yeah, they were loud. There were 3 kids just running around the front seats of the cinema.
I want to say they were young teenagers.
Who knows? They're on TikTok.
They were running back and forth multiple times. They pulled out their phones and took selfies with the flash on. Our whole cinema was flashed like 10 times.
Flashed, yeah. And then I think there must have been their mother or their babysitter or someone who was watching them was in the same row as us. And every time I'd look over at her, she was on her phone. She didn't look up at the screen once. She didn't raise a finger to stop these kids in their flashing. She was just on her phone. How could you buy tickets to the new Planet of the Apes movie after you know the 14 movie legacy before it? And you just spit in the face of everything this franchise stands for.
Real quick, have you ever pulled out your phone during a movie and been on your phone at the cinemas for a movie you bought a ticket to see?
If I have, it would be real briefly, like, oh, this person is from here. Why can't I remember what movie they're from?
Mm.
And then I
look classic IMDb.
Yeah. Classic quick IMDb look.
Yeah.
But aside from that, why would you just...
I've only ever done it once for A Wrinkle in Time.
You went and saw A Wrinkle in Time in theaters?
And my expectations were low going in.
You were the one flashing people. You were the one on your phone.
I can't believe I ended up taking 20 selfies during that movie.
What do you think of Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes in general?
It's all right. CGI is crazy.
Weta Workshop CGI. Weta Digital.
I'm interested because the new Lord of the Rings Middle Earth trilogy has just been announced. Dude. With, what is it, A Search for Gollum?
Apparently, hashtag working title, The Hunt for Gollum.
The Hunt for Gollum.
Yeah.
With Andy Serkis directing and heading it up.
Peter Jackson producing. He's back from the Beatles.
Back from the Beatles. And if the quality of CGI has improved so much from the Lord of the Rings trilogy, which I just saw recently, and Gollum still holds
up. Yeah, it'd be interesting because that was early 2000s was Lord of the Rings. Then we had in the 2010s was The Hobbits with Gollum as well. And then we're finally going to get like 2020s, late 2020s Gollum.
I'm real curious if they're focusing on Gollum solely for the fact that they can show off the improved CGI
really, really well, yeah.
But any predictions real quick for that?
For The Hunt for Gollum?
Yeah.
I don't know. With working title like The Hunt for Gollum, you'd have to assume it's either for Gandalf looking for Gollum pre-Fellowship of the Ring.
Yep.
Or Saruman and the orcs looking for Gollum before they torture him and get the name Baggins.
Which either one is going to be a bit weird.
Because I feel like they can't just do like a Gollum origin story when we already saw his turn in the Lord of the Rings movies. It was like a flashback, right? And we saw Deagle.
Yeah.
Deagle? Smeagol. We saw Smeagol and Deagle. Smeagol drowning Deagle, holding up in a cave. Him. Yeah, choked him. Sorry. Chucked his body in the water.
Yeah.
He wasn't completely choked out and he ended up drowning.
Yes.
Yeah.
No. I don't think this is what happened. I think he literally just strangles him.
Yeah, you're right. So we've already seen all that.
What else is there to the Gollum story?
There's the Gollum video game.
We don't speak those words
that they might be basing a movie off of.
There's no way. I just want to see Tom Bombadil.
Dude, what if they pull old Bombi out for The Hunt for Gollum?
Or the two blue wizards.
We'll finally see the blue wizards. Hey, they'll be hunting. It'll be everyone hunting for Gollum. Everyone we haven't seen on screen yet, just hunting for Gollum.
Do you think that Ian McKellen's going to come back?
Yeah, he'd have to. Everyone's hunting for Gollum.
Chronologically, he just gets younger and younger.
Yeah. I'm really looking forward to The Hunt for Gollum. And I'm kind of with you. Kingdom for the Planet of the Apes, super underwhelming, IMO. It feels like it retread a whole lot of things that the previous trilogy did and didn't do anything new or that exciting.
Even having not seen the last trilogy for a while and only having seen the Tim Burton movie before that, I think it was a little bit of a letdown just because all these other movies had such a huge scope and ramifications and intensity,
emotionality.
Yeah, that word.
And this one kind of just stripped all that back and started from scratch and wasn't as good.
Not to say that there wasn't emotionality in there.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit.
But I don't know. Caesar packed a punch.
Dude.
And without him.
Caesar over Noah any day of the week.
Real quick, Jasha.
Yeah.
Real quick. Megan Uzalon.
Oh, okay.
Another MonsterVerse sequel's been announced.
Oh, you are so right. Yeah. There's a screenwriter attached to the new MonsterVerse movie. Same guy who did Spider-Verse?
Same guy who wrote Spider-Verse. I think he was a writer for the 2014 Godzilla.
Hey.
I think he...
Shang-Chi?
Shang-Chi? Is that yep. right?
That's the guy. Yeah, it's pretty cool that the future of the MonsterVerse is kind of set in stone. We're having a whole lot of shows, spin-off shows, and definitely another movie now. So there's no time like the present to be a Godzilla fan, folks. I always say it. You guys always hear me say it. No time like the present to be a Godzilla fan. It's pretty much my catchphrase at the moment.
Every week.
No time like the present to be a Godzilla fan, guys.
He always says it.
Yeah.
In other news, Jasha.
The countdown to Titan Chasers is on.
Literally, that's what I'm going to talk about. You can sign up and pre-register for Godzilla X Kong Titan Chasers. You've already done it.
Done.
I haven't, so what does that say about us?
Dude, the countdown to Titan Chasers begins now. Voxer Wars?
Voxer Wars
found dead
alive.
In the water.
More living than ever. And the last thing on the topic of games, Gigabash?
Gigabash.
King Ghidorah and Hedorah.
Yeah, confirmed.
Pretty much confirmed.
Our guesses were not right.
While talking about it, I completely forgot that Hedorah was a villain.
Now, here we go. Proper guess time. What versions of King Ghidorah and Hedorah are they bringing into the game?
Showa Hedorah.
Yeah, I think it'll be Heisei, Ghidorah, Showa, Hedorah.
Showa Hedorah.
What if they did Final Wars Hedorah?
I could even see a flipping Monsterverse Ghidorah, honestly.
Ghidorah?
Ghidorah.
Hedorah?
Ghidorah. Monsterverse Hedorah.
Whoa. We're off the rails.
Crazy stuff.
We're off the rails. Thanks for the news.
You're welcome.
Well, guys, our Gamera journey has led us here. Gamera versus Gauss. You hear that? Gauss. I'm saying it right every time.
Yos.
Gamera versus Gauss.
Yos.
Came out in 1967, saw the return of Noriaki Yuasa as the director of the original. And I think he goes on to direct every other Showa-era Gamera flick, so hey. We're in for a ride. But before we talk about it, did you want to lead us into the movie, Micah?
As Gamera returns once more to Japan to feed off of the molten lava produced by a chain of volcano eruptions, a giant bat-like creature is awoken from its resting place under Mount Futago. Caught in the midst of a fight between the two beasts, a young child named Eiichi comes close to death before being whisked away to safety by Gamera. With the express engineering corps planned for a highway stopped in their tracks, and the JSDF deciding to take matters into their own hands, one question remains. Is Japan's defense force, a local construction crew, a giant flying turtle, and a plucky youngster enough to take down the nocturnal kaiju known as Gauss?
The return of the plucky youngster. I love it.
That's what's going to hallmark this movie for me.
The plucky youngster?
Yeah. This is the return of the plucky youngster.
This is it.
Get out of here, Toshio.
Oh, you laying down.
I have to be watching this movie. Get out of here, Toshio.
Little
it's time
kid
for a new
in this.
Plucky youngster.
Eiichi. What a guy.
Toshio.
Eiichi.
Eiichi.
Yeah.
Not self-obsessed with turtles.
No.
Just self-obsessed with Gamera.
Yeah. What a plot for this movie, first and foremost, that the crux of the human story is, wow, we need to build a highway through this village and they don't want us to build a highway through it.
Yeah, I heard that this was based off some, well, you know how like most of these kaiju movies tend to have themes relevant to the time.
Yeah.
Seeping into them. Apparently there was a lot about roadworks and highways coming out at the time of this movie.
Really? The government taking land from the people that lived there or the villages that were there and trying to urbanize it?
Yeah, well, that's what's happening in this movie. You see a lot of those village people coming out and trying to take matters into their own hands.
The thing is, it's not really like they're sad they're losing their homes, the villagers. It's not like they're sad that they're having to move or that the highway's coming. It's just that they want more money out of it. Their whole thing is not like, oh, no, it's our village. It's our home. We don't want cars driving past every day. It's like, no, we need to
more.
Milk them for every dollar they have.
Guys, the Express Engineering Corps is not rich. Have you seen the people this company's hiring?
Yeah, man. We get the return of Kojiro Honga.
Yeah.
Who was our main man in the last movie
our
we watched.
Protag.
Gamera versus Baragon. And he's foreman Shiratsumi. And he's back. He's got hard head on for the whole movie.
Wait, does he take it off?
I don't think he does.
No, he takes it off because we see his slicked back hair.
Briefly.
A good few times.
But yeah, it's kind of an interesting movie, as in there's no central character, I'd say. Like, there's him, and then there's Ichi, and then there's a couple comedic relief characters. There's Ichi's sister, who's randomly in it for a bit. It's kind of like an ensemble cast, and that whole cast, for some reason, are working with the government and are in their top secret boardroom meetings.
Along with Ichi.
And Aichi's sister. Like, Aichi, who's seen Gamera's not just... They're not looking to him for advice. They're getting his sister in there, you know?
She's his guardian.
Yeah, you reckon? She's, yeah. She was sitting at one of the middle points on the table. Why is she there?
Why are there any of these guys here? Why did they get the chief of foreman in their board meeting?
Because Gauss came out of his cave next to where they were making a road.
So get them in on all the planning sessions?
Yeah. Yeah, he needs to know what's happening with that area. I think the weakest part for me, to be honest, for this movie was the humans and for that plot line. The Rodan crisis didn't really connect with me. None of the characters really stood out. They each had a few cool moments. I mean, there was Ichi's sister, who I think was Sumiko. She has a moment when she's in that like red jacket and she's like pushing the protesters back. Her moment to shine.
Her moment is her pushing a protester.
Dude, that red jacket... That fit.
I love how you said her Sumiko moment, and then the first thing you focused on was the red jacket.
Yeah, Sumiko's moment.
This
was
character
that red
is
jacket.
So great. I love them so much.
Micah, that
because
gold,
of their jacket.
That gold jacket you're wearing right now?
Yo, this is a pretty good
dude,
jacket.
That's your moment. That is the moment.
Imagine 20 years. Yo, have you heard of Jasha Drake? His jacket.
His jacket. Did you have like any standouts from the characters before we get into the good chunk of the movie, or at least for me?
The good chunk.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like none of the characters themselves stood out too much to me. And especially when you're focusing on the construction crew, that stuff is a little bit hit or miss. But I did actually like the human aspect of things a lot when it came to their planning.
Yeah.
When the JSDF came in and... Oh, I love these planning segments. I've said it before. I've said it again. Like, favorite part of Minus One is their plans for how to take down Godzilla.
Yep.
And I was thinking
that's
about
your catchphrase. You say it every week.
Every single week. It's all about those plans.
Yeah.
You don't actually see that too much in Godzilla movies. Thinking back on it, is that right?
You get it in the odd few. Like ones. Again, Shin Godzilla. You see the big plan to make him sip through a straw. There's a few bits and pieces.
Except for ones where it focuses on humans v. Godzilla.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen too often. So it's really interesting to see this movie where they've got Gamera on their side and they're still having to try and come up with a plan to defeat this other kaiju.
Yeah. And I must say, they had, again, the convenient, we have these super bright flares that are just untested that you can go and use one of the segments. It's like, once again.
My favorite part. And like, I loved all the anatomy talking about how Gauss has like two throats and
that's cool.
Can't turn his head. And when the scientists came in and they were like, yo, these monsters' sense of gravity and direction comes from their ears. Jasha, this is true. There are these little crystals called otoliths in people's ears. And depending on where they're sitting, that's what tells you which way is up and down.
You're making this up.
This is true.
There's no crystals in our ears.
This is true.
Crystals?
Yep.
You're yanking my chain.
Look it up now. Look it up.
You're pulling my leg. You're scratching my back right now.
I'm just pulling your leg.
There's crystals in our ears.
It's true. Otoliths. They're a real thing.
Otoliths.
Dude, trust me.
As much of a made-up name as Gauss Otolith. Yeah, he doesn't even trust in himself. He's Googling right now, guys.
Dude.
Crystals. What am I, from space? What am I, from a mine?
From a mine.
What am I, from the Inhumans?
Yo, otoliths, commonly known as ear stones, are tiny crystals made mainly of calcium carbonate that are inside of the inner ear and are used to register da-da-da-da-da. It's true. This is why if people are involved in like a crazy crash or something, those otoliths can get all displaced and it can make them lose their sense of direction really bad.
The crystals shatter.
Not shatter, but they get thrown around.
They need to rebuild the calcium with milk biscuits.
what I meant to say. To get this back on track.
I don't know this is real, but you're saying like the parts that stood out to you in this movie was the anatomy.
The
and
thing
the
that got me was when they were talking about those...
Ear crystals.
Ear crystals.
Okay.
And they're saying, hey, we need to disorient this guy. If only we had this giant spinning rotating disc. Oh, wait, you have one of those on top of your building?
That was actually so good. Aichi's like, wow, there's one over there. And they all look. There's a shot of everyone just turning their heads, looking towards the rotating platform on the top of a building.
Because everyone, I can't think of a single building that has a rotating platform.
Dude, what was that even for?
I couldn't tell you.
It's like a merry-go-round, but only on the top of the building.
Do you not have merry-go-rounds on top of your building?
Again, it would need to be so huge, thinking of how big the kaijus are.
Yeah, it would have needed to be humongous. And it was the perfect size for what they were trying to do. Good old Deus Ex.
Yeah. The only other humans were, again, the two funny dudes from the village.
Oh, there was the head of the village.
Oh, that's right. He was pretty good. The granddad. Ichi's granddad.
Honestly, other than Aichi, none of the human characters are real standouts this time.
But Aichi was really cool. And again, some of my favorite parts of this movie were actually his moments with Gamera.
Mm.
Which is weird because I expected the kids to be a real downer as this franchise goes on. Everyone says it's just like Gamera and the kids and the kid actors are really terrible. I actually like this plucky youngster. And I feel like we get a whole range of kaiju action in this movie. Like, there's so many fights. Some of them take place in the air. Some of them take place in the sea.
It's so funny because after watching through Godzilla, it surprised me because we've never actually seen the main kaiju fighting against a main kaiju with a main antagonist kaiju with both of them flying.
Yeah.
Even in the Mothra movies, you usually have Mothra and then, I don't know, Desk Ghidorah, who's mainly on land.
Desk Ghidorah just was about to get his wings before he was destroyed, you know? But yeah, you're right. Like, there's cool scenes where we've got Gauss, wings outstretched, looking kind of like an airplane, and Gamera coiled up in his shell, like a big old UFO thingy. They're just hitting against one another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have gripes with Gamera and his shell flying physics.
But
it's okay. I won't get into it.
We'll get into it soon because there's a lot of it in this. I feel like they really wanted to show off their shell prop, the flying shell prop in this one. But what do you think of like Ichi and Gamera's connection? Because it all starts when there's a random reporter who is asking Ichi how to get to his village or like the road, the construction place.
Yep. Okabe is trying to get past reporter Okabe.
And Ichi just takes him on a wild goose chase.
Ichi seems so smart at the start. He's like, oh, no, you're a reporter. It would be traitorous of me to let you past.
Yeah.
And then Okabe's like, well, you know, Gamera could be there.
Yep.
And Ichi folds so quickly.
But then they find the little green glowing cave. They go inside it. And then at the first sign of danger, the reporter just gaps it.
Yeah.
Leaves Ichi to die.
Yeah.
And this starts off a series of really, really cool practical effects that I did not expect to see in a Gamera film.
Yeah, they were very involved with Ichi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the reporter, in like a single shot, he runs out of the cave. You see the background of like the trees and forestry behind him. And you see the background start to change as he's getting picked up. And then you just see the sky behind him all in like one shot.
Mm.
And then we see Gauss, pick him up and just start chomping on him. And it's this real cool shot. Like, I don't know how they did it. They must have had some rare projection or some cutouts behind the reporter, but it looks really, really cool. And it does it so much in this film with rare projection or kaiju being in the same scene as humans in the scenes, like there's a foreground and a background. All the stuff when Gauss is cutting things in half.
Oh, yeah, this is crazy.
It's
cutting
crazy.
Those planes.
That jets.
Is that one shot of the airplane that it gets cut in half and all of its passengers start straying to either side and jumping off.
It's
some crazy stuff
really
there.
Really impressive.
I think there's some wire work with some of the workers a bit later on as well, getting picked up and
flung around.
Wind gusts.
Yeah, and then there's the car that's cut in half and it still keeps running. Yeah. Trains that are cut in half. Like, they went really hard with the just visual effects in general in this film. And some of it doesn't land. Like, when Ichi does get out of the cave, Gauss tries to attack him, and then Gamera comes in and saves the day, catches Eiichi, puts him on a shell.
You're saying the hand looks bad.
There's some questionable stuff with Gamera's hand and Eiichi like falling down, obviously against a blue screen or something, and just perfectly sitting in Gamera's hand. Yeah. Well, Gamera's hand's moving, but Eiichi's just sitting still in the middle of it. And
what gets me is you see Gamera's hands, normally they're fine, they're stiff, but yeah. then when he's reaching for a rock, he's like grasping around with opposable fingers and thumbs.
Dude, I want to know how Gamera could catch Eiichi, then turn around perfectly and just drop him on the middle of his shell. Could you do that? And like one movement, yeah. could you like, if you had something in your hand? Yeah. How can a little turtle with stubby little hands out of his
hey, pecs? He's less stubby than you think.
He's, yeah. I mean, even though some of it looked janky, like that stuff, I'm still pretty impressed. Like, it's still impressive that they actually went to the lengths to try and pull off an effect like that.
Yeah. It's impressive to me because it's so different from what they've been doing the past two movies.
Yeah.
Like, step up effects-wise, but even the step of having so much effects when you didn't really have... I don't want to say there was none in the last movie, but...
No real standouts like a lot of these ones were.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just the visuals in general, like off the back of that, Gauss's cave, the green...
Oh, the green glow.
The green glow was really great. The fumes he pumps out of his second pair of nipples.
Yeah, sure. His light up scalp.
Yeah, like it looked really cool. I was just taken aback. To be honest, I was just completely taken aback with this movie and how great it looked and how hard they tried to kind of expand what the genre can do with its special effects.
I mean, even talking about our main two kaiju... Gauss looks really cool.
What do you think about Gauss?
Those light...
Giant bat.
Giant bat.
And I think he's like one of the only returning Gamera villains as well. I think he's in one of the Heisei era movies. He's in multiple show era films.
He's in
the
Rebirth
show.
My only prior knowledge of him was, can you guess?
Godzilla Battle Line.
Yeah. Where he has the ability to split up into multiple
units,
which I think happens a bit later on. Potentially.
Wow. Okay.
But seeing him in this one, it's interesting seeing him as more of a Rodan type character, but with a focus on like the, I don't know, actual weapon capabilities rather than just being a super fast, speedy flying thing.
Mm.
I mean, he's got like his crazy beam that just slices everything in half.
Yep.
Dude, he huffs so much of this red fake blood.
Dude, he does a freaking Hedora. He's huffing a lot of this blood that apparently looks perfectly like human blood, but it's the most saturated pink you've ever seen in your life.
Am I right in saying that this is Gauss's thing, is that he just loves blood?
He's a bat, right?
I don't think bats suck
vampire
blood.
Vampire bats do.
Like, is it insinuating that he's a vampire?
Dude, these Gamera films and their vampire subplots.
Every movie has got to have a character sucking blood.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I liked him in general as well. He had a whole lot of different abilities, but I think the flying prop for him looked pretty cool. I loved just how the suit looked in general. And something else I noticed with this film in particular is that both the suits for Gamera and Gauss, they looked great.
Mm.
And I remember thinking back to a lot of the Showa era Godzilla stuff, and there were a lot of times when suits were visibly like... deteriorating,
yeah.
or had some like stretches or parts when the fabric was missing.
Well, they just looked bad.
Yeah, and I was really genuinely impressed by these two. I think they've got a new Gamera suit, or his head looked a bit different.
Yep. Especially the shell. I think the shell was
he looked more turtle-like. He's looking more turtle-like by the day.
Every day. I want to say that they stopped setting everything on fire for this movie.
Yeah, let's stop damaging the suits, guys. We can't afford to damage them.
But yeah, Gauss, I love how he specifically has like a stiff neck, and like you mentioned, his flying prop.
Yeah,
I think there's nothing too crazy about it, and I think it suffers a little bit from being so stiff.
But
at the same time, they turned it into a narrative plot point.
Yeah, because that bit you talked about earlier, the anatomy, when they like have the... X-ray slideshow of what Gauss looks like, and he has two spines.
How do they figure this out?
I don't know. They had it prepared, man. Two spines.
Hold still up there while we do our X-ray.
This thing has two spines. He can't turn his head. His back is at a fixed angle. So this dude just, he can't turn around easily. He's just,
Anatomically correct. Yeah. Love to see it.
And that's why I think the prop works, like you were saying. It looks a bit silly that it's so stiff all the time, but hey, that's Gauss. It makes sense.
And I always like it in this type of medium where you give kaiju really specific characteristics or details, even if they don't need to make sense or need to, even if you don't need to go that in depth with them.
Yeah.
Even just having some fun details about them there fleshes out their character so much.
Like the classic Anguirus brain is in his neck.
Yeah.
Classic Godzilla having multiple brains? A brain in his butt? Is that right? That rings a bell.
What?
Godzilla's canonically has a brain in his butt, Micah.
You're wrong.
Micah, co-host of Podzilla, you don't remember the brain butt?
Now, when you say it like that, that sounds familiar. Yeah.
We've been over it.
Oh my gosh.
What movie is that from? I cannot remember.
I want to say this is from Destroyer.
Yeah, man.
A second brain located in its body. That's less of a butt and more like a...
It was in his butt.
More like a... What's that part? Like a lumbar.
It's in his butt. It's in his ass. Yeah, I like it when they get funky with kaiju anatomy. They definitely did it with this.
Mm.
And the fights in general, yeah, they're really great. We get a lot of it. Like, it's paced really well. We start with an opening fight. There's some stuff in the middle between the air and between the sea. And then the final fight's really good as well. And they, again, dialed up the brutality heaps in this.
Yeah.
Gamera's, like, there's a point at the end when Gamera, he's, like, stuck underneath Gauss. And the only thing he can do is just rip apart Gauss's neck.
Yeah.
He's just going for it. And blood's spewing everywhere.
You get those scenes where, like, Gamera slices off Gauss's toes.
Yeah, how about that?
And that becomes a major plot point too.
Gauss goes back to his lair and you see somehow practically they had like this little jelly looking substance on Gauss's toe, on his foot, and then two toes start poking out from it.
Yeah.
It's regrowing his toes and it looked so good.
Dude, I got no clue how they did it.
It looked so good.
When they had the big human scheme of putting him on top of the spinning huffing machine. I thought that was going to be like the final fight, that Gamera was going to come in, because they play with like the whole day-night cycle plot point a lot as well, which I really loved.
Gauss can't come out during the day normally, or any sign of bright lights. He has to get out of there.
He's weak to the sun.
Gauss heats up and presumably dies.
Yep. And I thought it was going to end there, and then that fails, and then they have a whole nother act afterwards.
Because that failed, they try and start a forest fire.
Dude, Heechee, man.
Heechee with his Smokey the Bear.
Hairbrain
schemes. Speaking
directly to this dude. He's like, man, I wish Gamera were here. You know what would get him out? If we set the entire forest on fire.
And I love how all the like the villagers are just like, yeah, let's just do it.
No one shows any hesitation.
No, let's start the biggest forest fire imaginable. Yeah, the day-night cycle stuff's real funny because there's that moment when Gamera does bite down on Gauss's foot. And Gauss is just like suspended floating in the air while Gamera's biting his toe. And we see it visibly change from night to day. And it's like Gamera must have been biting onto this guy's foot for hours. Gauss is just still in the air.
It feels a lot like Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, when they're waiting for the three trolls.
Yeah.
For the crack of dawn to break.
But this whole
whenever the sun's involved, I'm a big fan.
Yeah, it was good. And yeah, all the elements of how well thought out these kaiju were and their weaknesses were and their strengths were and how they showed all the physicality of them, the fight scenes. It was just all so inventive and all so brutal. And I just fell for it, man. I was having such a blast with this movie.
It's crazy that after just one movie with Gaussen, they're already so much more cemented in my mind as like a complete kaiju than most of the other monsters we see.
Yeah. Yeah. You're completely right. Should I get into some trivia?
Give it to me.
All right. Fun fact, Micah. This is our connection to the Godzilla franchise, if we didn't have enough already. Eiichiro Honda was so impressed with this movie, Gamera vs. Gauss, that he sent the screenwriter, Nissan Takahashi, a New Year's card congratulating him on the job well done for the movie.
Yo, imagine getting a New Year's card from Eiichiro Honda himself.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Hold up. I want to find out, when did this movie release?
1967, was it?
But like...
What Godzilla movie was that?
No. When during the year? Do you think that Ishiro waited like 6 months for New Year's to come around before congratulating?
He didn't see the thank you card straight away. He waited. His assistant, Ishiro Honda's new assistant, was like,
released theatrically in March 15.
But is Japanese New Year a bit different? It's so funny if it isn't. Like, Ishiro Honda's assistant's like, Ishiro Honda, you, just to gain some more credibility as a filmmaker, I think you should send some New Year's cards to all the other filmmakers, crew members in Japan.
It's January 1st.
Oh my gosh. So Ishiro Honda's just sending out a New Year's card and just thinks
he's late to the party.
Thinks to mention, oh, it was a great movie earlier this year, by the way.
Do you think he would have gotten a New Year's card otherwise?
Probably. This was the introduction of Gauss, which we already knew, but he appears in several more Gamera films. He is the only enemy monster in the series to ever do so. I don't think any of the other enemies properly return.
Because how was he finished in this movie? He was dropped into the volcano.
It's pretty good. The whole movie starts with a volcano erupting, Gamera crawling on into it to suck up the heat, get his energy back, and the movie ends with Gamera dragging Gauss back into the very volcano the movie started with.
Yeah. Good stuff.
It's so good because it's already been, we've been shown that Gamera gets stronger from these things. Gauss literally dies if he comes across heat. So yeah. it's just perfect. It's just magic.
It's magic.
But yeah, he's Gamera's arch enemy, I think, canonically. This is it.
I was just going to say, is he his nemesis?
I think so.
Yeah. Godzilla has considered Gamera's arch enemy.
Gamera has Gauss.
Gauss.
We'll get there. This is it. Ghidorah? We always have problems with that now. Now we're going to have Gauss.
Yeah, but it's always the nemesis.
And then the last bit of trivia I have is that after Gamera versus Barugon had been given quite a large budget, Dai decided to reduce the budget pretty drastically for this film. And they chose to bring back director Noriaki Yuasa because he did so well directing on a small budget for the original Gamera.
Weird.
Real weird, eh?
I mean, it's crazy because it works.
It does work. I wouldn't even pick that this has a lower budget than Barugon.
Nah.
I think Barugon had a lot more impressive, like Gamera's flamethrower was going off a lot. There was a lot of ice blasting out of a lot of tongues.
I want to say it had more set pieces as well.
Yeah.
Because like you have the antagonist of that movie like going on to the boats on the docks. Whereas this movie, it's quite solely set in this one almost enclosed area and the space above it.
Yeah, but
around
then
the forest.
They get the monsters everywhere. Like there's that part when Gauss is in the city destroying things.
Yeah, yeah.
He cuts one of those traditional like Japanese buildings in half, which is pretty cool.
I mean, it's impressive, good on him for doing it on such a tight budget.
You're yawning, Micah. Is it time for us
no,
to...
No, that wasn't a yawn.
That wasn't a yawn?
I just had something.
What I saw in my eyes wasn't a yawn. Okay, we better wrap this thing up. And then, yeah, I guess that's the trivia. But lastly, just because I forgot to mention it before, Gamera's flying a lot in this one. You didn't like it?
No, I like it. I love the shot where Gauss is on Gamera flying in his turtle shell.
Yeah, it's like stuff. A specific model, both of them connected.
I just don't like the physics of it. If Gamera's arms and legs and leg holes are pointed down, yeah?
Yeah.
It's propulsion that's keeping him up in the air. If you turn him around, he's not going to keep flying up. He's going to go straight into the ground.
The physics of it are getting to you.
The physics of it. Well, Micah, physics nerd extraordinaire.
Yeah, yeah. Well known. That's your catchphrase to say that about yourself.
Never took a physics class in my life.
We did see for the first time Gamera only using the back 2 feet jets while he still has his arms out as he was propelling himself towards Gauss at the end, which was pretty cool. I think that becomes a hallmark, like looking at the posters for the rest of the franchise. Looking at our podcast art, Gamera tends to have only his back two feet propelling fire. So it was interesting to see that for the first time. But Micah, do you want to get into final thoughts? Do you want to... Let us know what you thought overall of the movie, if you had any more notes you wanted to bring up.
The only other note I had was like some of the VFX shots here in terms of like transitions between scenes.
Yeah, man.
Were real cool. You had one sticks out where Eiichi is lamenting that Gamera isn't there. He's screaming out, Gamera, why are you at the bottom of the ocean? Come help us. as he's saying this, it changes to look almost as if he is sitting at the bottom of the water.
Yeah.
You see the bubbles coming up, then it switches to Gamera, and then it perfectly fades into Eiichi taking the same position, sleeping on the couch.
Injured Gamera cross-fading through to sleeping Eiichi.
Yeah.
It looks really good.
There were a few ones like that.
Yeah.
There was one other that stuck out, but I forgot to note down what it was. But those things are... You don't see too many cool transitions like that. Or people playing around with the effects too much.
That's what I mean. Like, this one just felt real creative compared to the ones before it. How about Gamera nearly getting his arm just torn off in the first fight? Having to go back to the ocean, down to the ocean floor to heal it up.
He spends so much of this movie recuperating.
Yeah.
And you can't blame the guy.
He takes a beating and he gets through it. Could Godzilla say the same for his early Showa movies?
Mm. Do you think that Gamera would have died if it weren't for the humans here?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe if they didn't come up with their random blood plan.
Still don't get it.
Yeah.
How do they get their hands on that much fake blood?
Dude, they invented it.
No, but other than that, like I said, I'm always a sucker for plans. And plans took a real forefront here. And I mean, everything we said, it's kind of a rarity to see this much effort and for the final product of a versus movie.
Mm.
Especially an early show one to just blow you away like this.
Yeah.
I'm going to be sitting at a clean 4 toes out of 5 for this one.
No, please. You can't rate this out of toes.
Regrowing toes.
Or injured toes. Or
what are those little dinosaurs called? You can get it at the $2 store.
I've talked about them recently. Yeah, the, I don't know, the growable, soakable dinosaurs.
That's right. I'm going 4 growable, soakable toes out of 5. Thanks for that one, JJ.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I honestly had a blast with this. It was so fun. Just had so much life in it, so much creativity when it came to the filmmaking that the ones before it were lacking. I feel like a lot of the movies we've covered recently on this podcast have been lacking. It really made me just sit back and be like, man, I really love kaiju movies. I mean, I really haven't felt that way in a little bit, which was interesting to have this revitalize that in me.
Man, The new empire is crying right now.
New empire. Get out of here. Gamera versus Gauss. The whole finale was really cool. With like, yeah, the forest fire, Gauss bringing the gas out everywhere. Gamera literally like matrix dodging Gauss.
yeah.
So great. Slowly. slowly ducking his head. A lot of Showa era shenanigans, which I missed. Gamera picking up a styrofoam rock, chucking it in Gauss's mouth.
It's so funny how you can do these things in early Showa movies. And it just makes sense.
Yeah. The amount of blood in this was insane. Just seeping out of every orifice on these two kaiju. I just loved it. The end credits theme song.
Oh, yeah, because this was a Gamera theme song. It wasn't the Gamera theme song.
A Gamera song. With a little like recap movie, because we had to recap the first 3 movies, apparently. The 2 before this and the 1 we just watched. But it was fun. I really enjoyed this. I will probably give it 4.5
Whoa!
Growable, soakable toes. It would honestly get that other half if the human characters were just a bit more engaging. I really liked Eiichi though. He was a standout.
His yellow cap?
Plucky youngster with his yellow cap and a slingshot and a dream. Him just sitting on Gamera's back.
One boy with a yellow cap, a slingshot, and a dream.
Yeah. Being able to sit in on those government roundtable meetings. Yeah, it was fun. We've got some messages from you guys. Messages from you guys, the P fans. I'll start up here.
Are we pivoting to G fans for this one?
No,
they're still Podzilla fans.
They're Podzilla
Podmira fans.
Podmira fans. We've got one here from Liam at No Dove. Liam says, between a competent child protagonist who didn't require the adults to be dumbed down to help, exciting fights with a threatening monster, and great effects, this film triumphs in every avenue. I love that it succeeds without... I love that it succeeds without abandoning the kids like Baragon and the Heisei films did. It's the greatest Gamera film.
The greatest.
4.656 out of 5 from Liam.
Okay, that's getting a bit out of hand.
That's getting a bit crazy, Liam. Come on.
We have another one here from Connor. Hey, Podzilla, Podmira crew. I just finished watching Gamera vs. Gauss and thought that while the monster action was as fun as ever, the human storyline was less interesting this time around. Protesting New Rose just isn't as interesting as treasure hunting in magic caves. Still, Gauss was a cool new villain and I loved the way he cut vehicles in half with his laser beam. Looking forward to the new episode as always, Connor. I proudly give Gamera vs. Gauss 4.5 freshly grown toes out of 5.
Again with the toes.
Everyone's on the same page here.
Everyone's on the page with the toes. We have a review here from Spencer. Spencer says, the Gamera series finally hits its stride with Gamera vs. Gauss, a heartfelt tale of danger, childlike wonder, teamwork, and the merits of deforestation.
Mm.
Featuring the mighty Gamera, who has fully come into its own as a guardian of the innocent and punisher of the guilty, facing him is the sinister Gauss, a no-neck fiendish freak who farts from the front. Gamera again uses his powers of jet propulsion and incredible violence to wipe the stain off the food chain for good. I think Gamera causes more bleeding in one battle that was featured in the entire Godzilla series, even if it looks like it'll taste of blueberry with a hint of lead. Gamera vs. Gauss is a good movie. I rate it 3.5 out of 5 whirling fountains of artificial human blood.
What do you mean no necked?
Dude,
he has a neck.
It's just made of two spines. Farting from the front. Got me, man.
We also have two short ones here. First is from Joe Jazzy. Gauss regrowing his toes and then immediately dropping a stalactite on them and wincing in pain is the most relatable a kaiju has ever been. 3.5 out of 5.
That's so funny. The exact same thing we've seen. We see his toes regrow. He just like injures them straight away.
And one here from Frogit as well. Super fun and gory. Might just be the best Gamera film I've seen by far. Had a lot of fun watching this with the pods of the crew. 4 out of 5 pints of kaiju blood.
Man, I agree, Frogit. I'm really, really excited going forward with these Gamera films. Because this was awesome.
Jaysha, speaking of going ahead with Gamera films, would you mind if I give us a quick tease for the next episode?
Next week, yeah. What are we watching?
Gamera versus Virus.
Virus? Not Veras?
Virus?
Virus.
Dude, I've dug myself into a hole here. What's the consensus?
Virus.
Virus.
Yeah.
Gamera versus Virus. As alien invaders plot to conquer the Earth, two Boy Scouts steal a mini submarine and discover Gamera in their midst. Transported to the alien spaceship, the scouts are menaced by the evil inhabitants, including Virus, a squid-like monster that grows to colossal size to battle Gamera.
This is the film where we see the yellow and black UFO.
The Bumblebee?
The Bumblebee UFO. Iconic.
I'm excited. Two Boy Scouts?
Hey,
Jaysha, this is me and you.
Me and you.
Hey.
Yeah. I think it's about to go downhill with this one, from what I've heard.
Oh.
So it'll be interesting.
How can you
next week.
With two plucky Boy Scouts?
Two plucky youngsters that also happen to be Boy Scouts. Thanks for listening to this episode, guys. You can find more of us on our Patreon. For $5 or less a month, you guys get uncut, unedited Podzilla episodes and a bonus one every single month. Patreon.com/Podzilla.
Hey, and if you want to be a plucky youngster yourself,
whoa,
feel free to give us a rating or a review on whatever platform you're listening to the show on.
Yeah, and also join our Discord. Link's in the show notes. A whole lot of plucky youngsters in there.
Everyone in the Discord
is a plucky youngster. And just final shout out. I mean, we talk about it a bit, but you can find us on letterboxd.com, Podzilla, and you can also find us both separately. I'm Jayshzilla.
I'm that Micah guy.
You can kind of keep up to date with what movies we're watching. We try and review every movie we see, whether that be Planet of the Apes, or Lord of the Rings, or Gamera.
Jaysha watches 10 times the amount I do.
Yeah. You pretty much just watch movies for the show.
Pretty much.
But follow us on there. We'd love to engage with you, see what you guys are watching. And yeah, we try to keep our Podzilla letterbox page pretty up to date. So you can see what movies we've covered in the past. You can find out where to watch them. Yeah. It'd be cool to engage with you over there. But anyway, that is us. You're going to get back to practicing your suplexes?
Hey, what else is there to do up here?
There's nothing. There's literally nothing to do up here. How are we going to do? How are we going to spend a whole season up here in space? There's literally nothing's going to happen.
With more suplexes.
Ah!